You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
Hi, and welcome to Spycast, from the secret files of the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C. I'm Dr. Vince Houghton, the museum's historian and curator. Every week, Spycast brings you interesting conversations with authors, scholars, and practitioners who live in the world of global espionage. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about Spycast, or if you want to suggest someone who might be a good future guest, email us at spycast@spymuseum.org. That's spycast@spymuseum.org. Also, if you like what you hear, and even if you don't, please take a minute to review us on iTunes or whatever platform you might be listening. We're always looking for ways to make Spycast better, and you can help.
This is Chris Costa, Executive Director, International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C. Today, we're privileged to be joined virtually by Colonel Jerome Fuchs, current commander of GSG-9, the elite unit of the German Federal Police that responds to complex coordinated attacks, domestic and religious motivated terrorism in high profile cases such as child pornography and violent criminal cases, as well as international hostage taking and kidnapping internationally. Jerome, thank you very much for calling in to us today.
Thank you, Chris. It's my pleasure.
So I hope everyone in Germany are staying healthy during this pandemic. It seems that Germany has done a great job through this crisis. It's important to note right up front that Jerome and I have known each other for almost a decade. I was privileged to first meet Jerome and the then commander of GSG-9, Olaf Lindner, in Israel. And that's a great place really to start a discussion. Can you explain why we were hosted by Israel a decade ago, and also kind of tie that into the story of GSG-9's origins?
Yes, Chris, it was a great meeting where we both were invited. The meeting was hosted by the Yamam, the Israeli counterterrorism unit of the Israeli police. And yeah, it was a conference where we had to solve different cases. We had to discuss different approaches, how to solve terrorist attacks in Tel Aviv. And yeah, so this is where, Chris, we both met first time. And other units joined the meeting as well. So I remember the Canadians and France. Yeah, so it was a great meeting, and I have the best memories to it. And yeah, you mentioned the ties in between GSG-9 and Israel, and we have a very close link to Israel because our roots, the roots of GSG-9. Go back to the Israeli counterterrorism units. And I think we can discuss it in detail right now.
Right. Yeah, what happened in 1972? Can you talk a little bit about that? And that really started the GSG-9 story before you even existed.
So yeah, our roots go back to 1972. During the Olympic Games in Munich, there was a attack of a Palestinian terror command. It was called Black September, and they attacked the Israeli Olympic team. And the tragedy was that all hostages, the terrorists, and the police officer were killed. And back in the days in Germany, neither the police nor the military special police force existed who was able to respond to these kind of attacks. And that was the reason why GSG9 was established as a special section of the former Bundesgrenzschutz, Federal Border Guard, now Federal Police.
Well, it started from tragedy, and then it became world-renowned as a specialized police unit. And your founder had a lot to do with that. Can you talk a little bit about General Wegener?
Yeah, so about General Wegener, he was the founder of GSG9, and he was back in the days, in the 70s, a liaison officer of the Federal Border Guard at the MOI. And he got the task to establish a special unit. And he was a very charismatic leader. And you have to remember that we got our first knowledge from Great Britain, and also a lot of knowledge from Israel. And this is very remarkable from my point of view, that he could open doors as a German officer in Israel to get knowledge for a special unit. But he managed it, and he had a very wise and very future oriented visions. And so we things left in GSG9 from the 70s, and one very special thing is our dark green beret and the organization of the teams. So we still keep a lot of this knowledge from the 70s until today, so as a kind of tradition.
Well, and sadly, the general passed away. But I had an opportunity to meet him, thanks to you, Jerome. And of course, we presented him with a flag that came from Somalia. What was the significance of that Somali flag? If you can tie it to one of your most famous operations, I think our listeners would love to hear the story.
Yeah, absolutely. So for sure, it was a great gift you offered to the general, because the most well-known operation of GSG9 was done in Somalia. And so it was in 77 when a German aircraft, the Lufthansa aircraft Landshut, was kidnapped. And there were 77 German hostages on board. And they made a tour around the world with this aircraft to finally land in Mogadishu. And so we made the operation 77 to free all the hostages. The operation was led by Ulrich Wegener. It was very successful, and it's a very important part of the history of GSG9. And although we already fulfilled around 1,900 missions since we were established, wow, it's the most famous one until today. And for sure, we all are proud about this operation. But it's part of the history, but a main part of our history.
So I think it's a remarkable story. And actually, as I was ramping up to do this talk with you, I found that we actually have a book on the operation called Storming Flight 181 in our store. So that was exciting to know. So hopefully we will introduce more people to the story by listening to this podcast. So let's just, I want to go back to one question I have about the Lufthansa hijacking. What was the tie-in to the Red Army faction, who were terrorists that were operating throughout Germany at the time?
Yeah, so there was a special tie. So you mentioned the Red Army faction and the PLO, and there was a very close tie. There were several terrorists arrested in a German prison in the south of Germany. And so the whole action to kidnap the Landshut, the airplane, was to free these terrorists. Finally, when they got the information that Chi-9 fulfilled the mission successfully, they immediately committed suicide in prison. And so this was the end for these terrorists and for our operation.
So that's a great historical context, really. So let's flash forward until today. Can you summarize what the GSG-9 does on a day-to-day basis now?
I think important to know is that we operate domestic and abroad. This is important to know. Yes, we are a police unit, but we operate also abroad. And our main topic for sure is counterterrorism. We support the different police units in Germany. So for sure, the federal police, the Bundespolizei, also the Bundeskriminalamt, it's the German FBI, and the state police. And so we do warrant arrests on a daily basis. And Chris, I'm talking to the director of the spy museum, and I remember a case where we arrested two Russian spies in a small town in Germany. And I think this is maybe a nice example, because it was a case like in the Cold War. And we worked together close with the investigation units and with the intelligence. And yeah, our task was to arrest these spies in a moment when they are active. And yeah, we arranged it. It was a great success for the whole police and intelligence community. So this was not a very common case, but I think you should know it. What we do else is fighting organized crime, if it comes to drug dealing, if we have to do operations on different targets, like complex buildings, or a lot of training on special objectives, like ships, airplanes, trains. So yeah, these are main tasks. And I think the most important right now, if you see the situation in Europe with the complex attacks, this is a main task for us. So for sure, it doesn't happen every day, but we have to prepare. We have to be prepared to have a rapid response to these complex attacks. And another field we are involved is fighting child pornography. You already mentioned. So yesterday we had an operation in this field. I think I hope I did not forget a main part, but I think that's it.
Hey everybody, today I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. And now a word from our sponsor, Sixth Sense. Sixth Sense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With Sixth Sense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. Visit sixthsense.com to learn why enterprises choose them.
No, you did a great job running down your mission lines. I really appreciate that you shared that perspective on arresting the spy. You knew that was one of my favorite stories. I really appreciate you sharing that with our listeners. So let's just jump into your career briefly. Just how did you end up in GSG9? And what's different from the GSG9 you joined many years ago until today? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I started in 97 in GSG9. And I was motivated by one officer of GSG9. In 96, I was at the German Bundeskriminalamt. And so this GSG9 officer was there for 4 weeks. And so we had a lot of discussions, and I asked a lot of questions to him. And after these 4 weeks, my decision was clear. I wanted to apply at GSG9, and so did I. And in 97, I joined the command, and I'm still here. Yeah. So what's different from the beginning until today? I think a main difference are the training and education methods. They changed, so we implement more physical and mental science findings in our basic and specialized training. And for sure, the organization itself changed a lot of times, and we are never at the end. So we always try to organize ourselves to have the best response to the threats.
So speaking of threats, can we dive a little bit deeper on international hostage taking? I mean, what is the scope of the problem for Germany regarding international hostage taking?
Yeah, so, you know, Chris, we have German embassies everywhere. We have development workers, companies at the hotspots worldwide. And so same is with the US. So this is a problem for us. And for sure, we try to be prepared for every situation abroad, and we prepare the freeing of hostages. We have supported the BKA a lot of times by advising also the Crisis Reaction Center of the Foreign Office. You will understand that I can't go too deep into the right. details of these operations because they are confidential. But you know, it's a very, very complex situation where a lot of different organizations have to work together to get the success.
No, thank you. I appreciate the sensitivities, but that gives us a flavor for how you think about hostage taking overseas. Can you walk us through some of the terrorist problems that you have today domestically in Germany, what your concerns are? I know you've had some ISIS shootings. Can you talk us through that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is one of the main threats we have in Germany right now. And not just in Germany, also in Europe. And we try to have an exchange of experience with the other European nations and units. And one thing is that we have to improve our possibilities in being ready for a rapid response. So we establish right now, or we established another unit of GSG9 in Berlin to be faster at the spot. So right. Germany is not a very big country, but if it comes to such an attack you mentioned, we have to be very fast. And so we had different cases in Germany, not real complex. It's more the lonely wolf attack. This is the other main threat we have to take care about. And if we don't manage to be right on time at the spot, because you know these kind of attacks, they are done in a few minutes, and so we know that. And one other response of GSG9 is that we transfer parts of our knowledge how to handle such a situation to the first responders. So we did a lot of training with other police units in Germany, and gave parts of our knowledge to these units. And you can imagine that's not very easy for a special unit to know. Maybe you are not the one who's solving the situation, but you are the one who can prepare others very, very well. And yeah, so this is what we do. On the one hand, being prepared as a command if it comes to a complex attack, which takes hours or maybe days until it's ended, and for the lonely wolf attacks, to prepare the others.
No, and that's a good explanation on why you moved to Berlin as well, or why you didn't move to Berlin, but you opened up a new operation center, I guess, if you will, in Berlin.
Yeah, so that's right. And if you look at the other European capitals like Paris, London, Madrid, main attacks happened in the capitals. And so it was a political decision to have the GSG9 as the counterterrorism unit of the federal police also in the capital. So our other base is close to Bonn, the former capital. So this is still our main base. But since last year, we have these two bases, Bonn and Berlin.
So thank you for that. I want to ask you, and I realize there might be sensitivities, but do you have a relationship? Does GSG9 work well with the German intelligence community?
Yes. So due to our history, we have to stick very close to certain standards and laws, but we have several junctions where we merge the information. And so this is the way we get the information we need for our operation.
That provided excellent clarity, and I appreciate that. So let me ask you one final question about counterterrorism more broadly. Any future trends? You talked about lone wolves. Are there other things related to counterterrorism that you're worried about in the future?
Yeah, so I think the lone wolves are one of the main problems we have. Another development we worry about is especially the right wing fraction in Germany, for example, the Reichsbürger. We worry about them, and we had also operations against right wing people, and so also the hostage situation international, like I mentioned, we will also in the future be represented by Germans abroad. So this situation won't change for us. So we have to be prepared for these situations as well. And
thank you.
Let me just add, Chris, how we try to better respond to these kind of attacks. And so one approach we made in the federal police was to establish the Federal Police Special Operations Command 11 for a better interoperability of the special units and skills in the federal police. And so we try to combine all these skills better to have a better response to the threat.
What about COVID-19, shifting gears a little bit? How is that affecting GSG9's work right now?
Yeah, I think it's not a real effect on our command. For sure, we changed the system a little bit, and we sent people from the support sections to the home office, but it doesn't work with the operational units. So we built groups who work together and not getting in contact with other groups. We have regulations for the training, but I think if it comes to a bigger operation, we will arrange and execute it like before COVID-19.
So transitioning a bit, I have told you this before, but for our listeners, one of my highlights of my time on the National Security Council serving the White House in the current administration was hosting you, your teammates, in the president of the federal police, Dr. Roman, when we shared some of our common concerns that the U.S. and Germany share on terrorism issues, such as lone wolf attacks, which you referenced. What was your key takeaway from that amazing visit?
Yeah, Chris, first of all, I have to thank you personally for arranging this great visit for our president, Dr. Roman, but also for me and the teammates. That was really great. And for me, it was the key was to see how important it is to share the experience in between the US and Germany if it comes to terrorism issues. I think especially for Dr. Roman, the airport security was very important to share this knowledge in between the TSA and the US Customs with the federal police. So we all took a lot from this visit, and again I want to thank you as a friend and really organizing this visit was very special for all of us.
Well, thank you. The privilege truly was ours, Jerome. So do you have any final thoughts or reflections? Is there anything else you would like to add? Did I forget to ask you any questions?
No, Chris, I just want to thank you personally as a friend, and for my whole command, for all you did for CHI-9 and for the friendship in between the US special units and CHI-9. This friendship and cooperation is more important than ever. And you did a lot, Chris, and just thank you for it.
Well, thank you, Jerome. In closing, I again want to thank you personally for being an outstanding commander of GSG-9. I've observed your leadership firsthand, and I've seen how you're a tremendous friend and partner to the United States, and I think that's an important theme. Both you, your predecessor, Olaf Lindner, and the many GSG-9 operators who I could mention by name, but I won't, you have all inspired me and made me a better leader. So I am really grateful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris.
The International Spy Museum is a full 501c3 nonprofit. If you want to donate to the museum, or if you're local and want to volunteer at the museum, please visit our website at spymuseum.org for more information.